Okay, basically this time we're going to start talking about the effect that the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash had on world history. And ultimately, Be'ikar, in the next time when we're going to talk about the Golus of Yehuda, which had a tremendous impact on world history, which, by the way, what we're going to talk about tomorrow is Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach is very crucial in understanding many different things that happened in the world for the last 2,000 years. But this time we're going to talk about something a golus that took place, which Be'etzim, very interestingly enough, did not really have a direct, so to say, influence on what happened in world history, what takes place in world history, and we'll explain it a little bit also. But we all know that the first Beis HaMikdash was Chorev, the Gemara says, because of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichas Dam. Pashtus, the Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Damim was as a result of the Avodah Zarah, bringing Avodah Zarah into the country. The Ovdei Avodah Zarah, what they did, had to do with Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Damim. So that was the Avodah Zarah, really, when we study about exactly what happened. So we see that basically it was because of the Avodah Zarah that came into Eretz Yisrael that brought the tremendous Mapola, the Ruchni Yistika Mapola in Eretz Yisrael, and ultimately the Golus, that we had to leave Eretz Yisrael. We understand, the Rambam tells us, that the gather of the Avodah Zarah was that originally people said that there are different mazolis that we have in the world that bring a hashpah onto the world. The hashpah that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through these different mazolis, and they developed the theory that we are therefore, being that these are the sarim, so to say, of the Bari Olam, that we would have a responsibility to serve these sarim also. And from there, ultimately, they came on to Rachman Lassan, forget about the Bari Olam himself, and they just served the Avodah Zarah by itself. This whole Mahalach of Machshava, so to say, came into Eretz Yisrael in different stages. In the Psukim it tells us that Shlomo HaMelech was Nosa Noshim Nachriyos, he married Noshim Nachriyos, and ultimately they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And maybe we'll talk about this a little bit later on also, a little bit better understanding of what happened. But what it says in the Psukim is that they were the ones that introduced Avodah Zarah into Eretz Yisrael. Then afterwards we know, from the Psukim on Sefer Malachim, that Eretz Yisrael was divided up into two different Chalokim. Originally, when David HaMelech became Melech, so all of Eretz Yisrael was under David HaMelech, and ultimately under Shlomo HaMelech. And then, from Shlomo HaMelech, so there, in his son's time, Rechavim's time, the Malchus was divided up into two different parts. It was divided up between Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Ephraim, or Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim. And the Chelika that came from David HaMelech, so they were Melech over Yehuda and Binyamin, okay, and that's all what we'll call Yehuda, what's called Yehuda. And the rest, the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 different Shvatim, they went over under the Malchus of Yerovam ben Nevat. And we know that Yerovam ben Nevat didn't want that the Yidden should go to be Eilu Regel. The Beis HaMikdash, found in Yerushalayim, was in the Chelik of Yehuda. So in order for the Yidden living in the rest of Eretz Yisrael to be Eilu Regel, so they would have to go into the Chelik of Yehuda, to go to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. So they would have to go into Yehuda, and he didn't want that to happen. He didn't want the Yidden to go into Yerushalayim. So it says that he put up two different agolos, one in Don, one Be'er Sheva, that people should go to, and his intention, we should understand, was that this should be B'makayim de Beis HaMikdash. In other words, we understand that the place to be mispal, the place to be Eile Regel, the place that has a special Kedusha, is in Yerushalayim, in the Mokam HaBigdosh. He somehow convinced everybody, perhaps even convinced himself, that he can establish these two different places in the Chelik of the Aseres HaShvatim, and so they shouldn't have to go up to Yerushalayim, and he didn't allow them to go up to Yerushalayim. He stopped them from going up to Yerushalayim. So technically, we might think to ourselves that his intention was not to establish an Avodah Zarah. Perhaps it's true, but ultimately it turned into an Avodah Zarah. These two places turned into a Mokum of Avodah Zarah, and the people that followed in the future times, so they served it as an Avodah Zarah. Then afterwards we know that there was a melech in Israel whose name was Ahav, and Ahav had a wife whose name was Izebel, and they brought into Eretz Yisrael an Avodah Zarah called the Baal. And the Baal was, like we explained from the Rambam, they claimed that a person has to be oivid into the Baal, this Avodah Zarah. And that would be the proper way, so to say, of a person serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. And of course, this is the seeds of Avodah Zarah ultimately turned into Avodah Zarah, and this brought about the downfall that of the Aseres HaShvatim in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this all took place. The story that we know about Ahav and Izebel, we know from the Psukim, this took place in the time of Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi tried to be mashpia and the rest of the Eden living in the Aseres HaShvatim, not to follow in the ways of Izebel. And basically, there were times, there were better times, there were shvacher times. But what we need to know is that more than into the chelik of Yehuda, or I should say quicker, than when in that Avodah Zarah was widespread in Yehuda, it was spread in the place of the Aseres HaShvatim. Just to quote a Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis, the Gemara brings down one of the kings that was Avdi Avodah Zarah was Menashe. And the Gemara says that Rav Ashi was learning about the Avodah Zarah, and he was thinking to himself how ridiculous it is that people were served Avodah Zarah, they waved the Avodah Zarah, such a ridiculous thing was going on. It says that Rav Ashi had a cholim. Menashe came to him in the cholim, and he told him that if you would have been living in that time in Eretz Yisrael, so the Lashon of the Gemara is, he told him you would have picked up the size of your begadim, because they wore long begadim. So he says, and if you're wearing long begadim, it's difficult to run. He says, you would have picked up your begadim and you would have ran to the Avodah Zarah. That's how strong the Yetzer Hara for Avodah, to serve the Avodah Zarah was. So Rav Ashi couldn't understand how it's possible for people to be able to Avodah Zarah. It's because there was no Yetzer Hara anymore for Avodah Zarah, which we'll learn about Mirtz Hashem the next time, what happened to that Yetzer Hara. But in the time of Menashe, that Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was very, very strong. And, of course, we're critical of Menashe for being able to Avodah Zarah. But as Menashe told Rav Ashi, the temptation, the Yetzer Hara to be Ovid Avodah Zarah was tremendous. And if it would Cholila come in our time, such a thing, or he's telling him, even in the time of the Helig of Rav Ashi would not have been able to withstand the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, and he also would have served the Avodah Zarah. So what we need to know is that we know the time of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, Tisha B'Av, the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. The Churban of the Beis HaMikdash and the Golus that took place on the first Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about the Golus of Yehuda. 133 years before the Golus of Yehuda was the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. It's a long time, 133 years. So 133 years before Yehuda went into Golus, the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golus, and as we explained, the reason was is because the Avodah Zarah was more widespread by the Aseres HaShvatim than it was in Yehuda. So now we're going to discuss the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. Exactly what happened in the time of the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. So if you look in Sefer Melachim, Melachim Beis, Perek Zayin, so the Pasuk says over there, Bishnas Shteimesre Le'ochaz Melech Yehuda, so it says that the Melech from Ashur came, and he came in different waves and different times, and he drove the Eden into Golus to Ashur. Now if you look on the map, so we saw before where Eretz Yisrael is, Ashur, it's difficult to know exactly where Ashur is, but it's basically northeast of Eretz Yisrael. So on the map, I guess more or less that would point us in the direction of Syria, right? And as you go east, right, if you go east of Syria, so then you're going into Iraq and further. Now in the Psukim it says, in the Psukim it tells us that where they went, the different cities that they went to. But before we talk about that, so we have to know that there are different Midrashim and different Chazalim that talk about what happened in the time of the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. We're going to bring down from a Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi is in Sanhedrin, Paragud Halacha Vav. The Yerushalmi says that the Eden were divided up into three different parts, three different groups. One went into the behind the Nor Sambatyoin, and another one went to a different place called Antuchia, and there was a third group that it says that an Onan covered them over, and I would assume that they remained under the clouds, under that Onan. Exactly where they went from there, so again, we don't know exactly where they went. So we know, that, and that's clear, and it's again, it's another Midrashim like that also, it's clear that the ones who went from Golus, from the Aseres HaShvatim, went into different areas. They didn't go into the same place, but they went into different areas. We are going to discuss the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim into two different parts. We're going to ultimately discuss the people from the Aseres HaShvatim, the Eden from the Aseres HaShvatim, that went behind the Sambatyon, the other side of the Sambatyon. But first we're going to talk about the Eden from the Aseres HaShvatim that didn't go to the other side of the Sambatyon, but went into different places in the world. Now, where did they go? Again, in the Psukim it says, gives the names of the towns and the cities that they went to, but there's very little we could do with this information because we don't recognize the names. The names are just not recognizable. So we don't know exactly where these people went. Even if we would know where they went, but we have no way of knowing where they are now. Because even if they went into different cities, so by then ultimately they could have wandered, I'm sure they did wander, from city to city, from place to place. We know that there was from Yehuda, there were people that wandered off into different cities in China. If you look on the map, China is quite a distance. But we were wanderers, people that traveled for whatever the reason. So there's no telling where these people are found now. So again, Badik, what I want to do is divide it up into two different parts. The people on the other side of the Sambatyon. People on the other side of the Sambatyon, we're going to learn, are still there. Till today, they're still there. And we're going to learn about what these people are like. How about the people not on the other side of the Sambatyon? The people that went amongst went to different cities, they wandered into different cities. What happened to these people? What's the Gevar Medi mention from the Aseres HaShvatim? So, about that we have different Gemaras also. So now, first of all, you have in front of you the Gemara in Shabbos. Yeah, you have a Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amid Beis. So if you look like two thirds of the way down, I underlined it for you. Amar Rav Chelba, Chamra de Pargaisa, Umaya de Diumstis. So the wine of Parganisa, obviously this is a very good wine. Umaya de Diumstis, the water that comes from the Diumstis, is a bath, a place where people went for the baths. Kifchu Aseres Ashvatim Yisrael. So they drove out the Aseres Ashvatim from the rest of Klal Yisrael. If you take a look, Rashi on the side, right, I marked off for you, Kifchu Aseres Ashvatim Shohayu Balei Hano. The Aseres Ashvatim were Balei Hano. Va'asukim Bekach. And because they were Balei Hano, they were Oisik in drinking wine, and they were busy sitting in the bath. But hayu oiskim b'teira v'yotzu l'tarbis ro, and they went off l'tarbis, or they went up from the derech. So we have it clear in the Gemara that the Gemara tells us that the people from the Aseres Ashvatim, they, as Rashi describes it, they were Bali Hanor, they got into the Hanor Salem Hazeh, and Meila, they went away from the Emes Aderach. Interesting Gemara. I'm sure everybody knows about this Gemara. The Gemara goes weiter to say, Reb Lezer ben Aruch ikloi lahosim. Reb Lezer ben Aruch went there. Reb Lezer ben Aruch, if you remember, in the second parag, I think it is in Pirkei Avos, so Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai describes Reb Lezer ben Aruch as being the greatest of his Talmidim, according to one Mishnah. It says that he, Imshich Basrayhu, he went into this place, Ayakat Talmuda, and he forgot his learning. Kihoda osa kom le mikri besafra, boy le mikri hachoydish hazelochem. He wanted to read the posik hachoydish hazelochem, Omar hacheresh hoya libam. Okay, this is the famous Gemara that Reb Lezer ben Aruch, he went to the same place and he got involved in Anos Eilam Hazeh. And until there was, he saw his simon min hashamayim, because instead of being able to read the pasuk of Achaydish Hazelachem, so he read it wrongly, and by reading it wrongly, sort of described himself. Acherish Reilibim, what happened to? But the Ika, what we see over here is a Gemara that tells us clearly that the Aseres Hashvatim went away from the derech of the Torah. And over here the Gemara says that the reason that they went away from the Derech, what caused them to go away from the Derech, was because they came to this place that was full of Anoas Olam Hazeh, and b'meila they went away from the Derech Hayosha. We have another Gemara in Yevamos, and this is the Gemara that you have in front of you, and this is very important for our discussion. The Gemara and Daf Tezayin Amud Beis in Yevamos. And again, you look towards a couple of lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Oyvei Kachavim Shekidish Bizman Hazeh Choshen LeKedushin. If a guy is Mekadish in Isha Bizman Hazeh, so if a guy is Mekadish in Isha, there's no question about it that the Kedushin is not Chal, right? If a guy makes a Maisa Kedushin, the Maisa Kedushin is not Chal. A guy doesn't have Kedushin, so the Kedushin is not Chal. Yet the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Asi says that if a goy is Makadish Nisha Bizman Hazeh, Choshen LeKedushin, we have to be afraid, maybe the Kedushin is Chal. If he's a goy, the Kedushin is not Chal. So the Gemara says, Shema Me'aseres HaShvatim Hu. Because we have to be Chayish that the person who made the Maisa Kedushin came from the Aseres HaShvatim. So you have a Maisa, a woman went, and Chmol Atzlan, she got married to a goy. Maybe he's from the Aseres Hashvatim. Called the parish Meruba parish. We have a cloud called the parish Meruba parish. Say he was parish from a goy, so you have to be assumed that he's a goy. So the Gemara says beduchto de kvi. We're talking about in a place where there are kvi. And there's machlokes here, Rashi and Taisus. We learn Taisus pshat bepashtis. It's a more simple pshat that we're talking about the places where the Aseres Ashvatim were found. In other words, you went to the place where the Aseres Ashvatim were found, and into that city. So you don't have Reiv Akum. So Bibalt, you don't have Reiv Akum, so you have to be Chayish for Kedushin. To Amar Rav Abba Bar Kahana, it says in the Poser Inochem, Bechalach, Bechavor, Nahor Goizen, Meore Modai, and the Gemara goes to describe what these cities, the name of the, who these cities were, which of these cities are there. So the Gemara says that we're talking about that an Isha was miskadeshes in these cities. The Balshi is miskadeshes in these cities, therefore you have to be chayish that the Kedushin is chal. And the Gemara has an Arichis. What are we talking about? If we're talking about the case where the Baal is a Yisrael, and the Isha, and the Isha is from the, if the Isha is the Yisraelis, and the problem is Benegeya to the Baal, so the Gemara says the Isha is Yisraelis, so Avenda the Ben is Yisrael, you always go Basa the Isha, you don't go Basa the Baal. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about the suffix on the Isha. The Baal is a Yisrael, and there's a suffix on the Isha. We have a suffix on the Isha. If the Isha is Pashta, she's a Goita. But we have a suffix that maybe she's from the Aseres Ashvatim. That's the next Arichas we have in the Gemara. Now, if you look further on, where I made the two marks, it says, Ika da Amri, ki Amrita kamei de Shmuel. When they told over this memra to Shmuel of Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, when they told over this memory to Shmuel, Amale, Shmuel said, Leizazu misham at she'osum av oide kechavim gemurim. Leizazu misham, the Chachamim didn't leave that diyun, the Chachamim were done on this issue, and the Chachamim didn't leave that at she'osum oide kechavim gemurim, until they made them into avoide kechavim gemurim. And just the lines before in the Gemara says that we know that the Israelis amongst them, the women from that Sarasram didn't have any children. They made sure they shouldn't have any children. But now the Gemara says that Shmuel says that even if they had children, even if the women from that Sarasram Hashvatim, who were Yisraelim, even if they would have had children, loizazu misham atchosom if they could have gemurim, shenema, as it says in the pasuk by Hashem, bogdu ki bonim zorim yoldu. So the Gemara learns out from over there. Shmuel brings down the memra that asom if they could have gemurim. Now, this oibazoi, what the Gemara now is telling us is that we have here two chedushim, let's say. We have one chiddush that tells us that the people from the Aseres Ashvatim, even assuming that you have somebody who is from the Aseres Ashvatim, we know that he's from the Aseres Ashvatim, and if you would know that he's from the Aseres Ashvatim, the Rebbe Zoi, the kedushin should be a good kedushin because he's a Yisraeli, or Yisraelis in this case. Shteitoch in the Gemara, that they're not Yisraelim because they were made into Goyim. They made him into Goyim. Now, this L'chayra is the second Chiddush. How do you make somebody into a Goy? The Gemara says, Yisrael afa pisha chata is Yisrael who. So how do you make somebody into a Goy? So, I'm just going to read for you from the Miri, but you're going to, if you want to toot off the Inyan, and we'll talk a little bit about the Inyan, you look in the Ritvo and Av Chavbeis, in the fourth paragraph of Yevamos. So, they read a room on the Zalba Eifin. So the Miri speaks out like this. Kabbalah ha'isa biyadam shekol ha'isam shenitmu behem nitmu legamri anoshim v'noshim ad shebezin sheba'isay hador asom kegoyim gemurim, until the bezin of that generation made them into goyim gemurim shloli hiyaisam b'chlal dine Yisrael klal, that they have no dinim of a yid. So question is, again, where did the Bezin get such a koyach? Don't know. But it says a meridik chiddush over here in the Miri, you know, based on the Gemara, that Bezin has a koyach to take a person who is a Yisrael and to drive him out of Klal Yisrael, make him ice yid, and make him into a goy. And then the Miri goes on with the issue that what happens if Bizmanenu, you have a person who becomes a Meshumid, the person who Rachman Lassan goes, who becomes, let's say, an Eved Avodah Zarah, he goes up from Derech, he becomes an Apikairis, the Chayrish Teitoch in Derech Gemara, that such a person is not a member of Klal Yisrael anymore. In other words, the understanding was that even though Yisrael Afi Shachata Yisrael Hu, but maybe if a person goes off completely from the Derech, so then he does become a Goy, and the Rai would be this Gemara. And Chaps Nat Kamina, what happens, you have a person that's a Meshumid, who's Mekadosh and Isha, is the Kedushin Chal. The Tshuvas that we have is more in the case where a woman is married to a Meshumid who dies, does she fall for Yibum? Or if the surviving brother is a Meshumid and she falls for Yibum to him, so does she have to have Chalitza or not? This becomes a major problem in the Paiskim. And there are Paiskim that want to bring down from this Gemara that he loses his Din Yisrael, Araya from this Gemara. So basically, the Miri is telling us, and again, if you look in the Ritva, so they say that Pashtus is not like that. This was a very special case. A Yisrael that's Chota, even if he becomes a Meshumid Rachman al-Atzlan, so he retains the Din of a Yisrael. What's the Pshat over here in this Gemara? So, like the Miri says, Bezin Shabaisai Hador Asom Kigoyim Gemurim. In this particular case, they made him into Goyim Gemurim. So, it's good to know that there is such a musi, that it exists such a zach, that Bezin could make somebody into a Goy Gomer. But, once again, what we're left with is that the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that they went out from the Derech because they got involved in the Hanoas Ailam Hazeh. And the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that Asom Kegoyim Gemur. So, Mamela, if a person travels in this day and age and goes into different places of the world and finds people that act like he have different customs that are similar to the customs of Eden. And because they have such customs, so a person might think to say that such a person comes from that Seres HaShvatim. So what we need to know is that it's not Negeah. It's just plain not Negeah. It's very interesting to know if they came from that Seres HaShvatim. But it's not Negeah, because the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that even if they are from the Aseres HaShvatim, but Vibalt, you see that they don't follow in the Derech of Yisrael, so Memela, they don't have a Halacha of Yid. So, for instance, if you're going to come across a tribe of people that are Muslims, let's say, and yet they have certain, says their Raya's epis, that they come from the Aseres HaShvatim, if you have such a thing, and you're going to think to yourself, you're going to go be Makarvim, right? Because it's Rachmonis, Moshe Zaymati people over here, you want to go be Makarvim and bring him back to Yiddishkeit and bring him to Eretz Yisrael, Lachvayis, whatever. So there's no such thing, because once again, these people have a halacha of Goyim Gemurim, and therefore there's no reason for pashtus, you could use your energy for something that's a little bit more helpful. And again, there's really no reason in order to be makar of these people, because they have a halacha of a goy. V'oid, just that we should have another understanding, we have to also know that when the Christians got started, the Christians didn't look the way they look today. They had many, many different practices, like regular Eden had, some yes and some not. And the Christians became missionaries. And they traveled into different places of the world to convert people to Christianity. Now, different phases at different times, different Christians kept different mitzvahs and didn't keep different mitzvahs. And that could very well be the reason why, if you find different pockets of people in different parts of the world that carry on certain traditions, it could very well be that these people were goyim, there were Christian missionaries that reached them, and they converted them to Christianity or to Islam, was the same thing, and therefore they took on some of the practices of Eden, and a lot of the practices they didn't take on because the missionaries themselves were a little bit mixed up as far as that went. Some things they did keep, some things they didn't keep. So once again, to know that these people are Eden is kamat impossible. even if they are from the Aseres HaShvatim, it's not Negea, because the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that Asom Kegoyim Geburim, and if these people want to become Yidden, so then the only way this can happen is that they have to go through a full process of Geirus. Okay, so this is clear. Now, again, it is a fascinating subject that these people from the Aseres HaShvatim wander off into different places. And if we could find out where these people are, so it's very interesting. Makes it very fascinating. There is an organization there, Eretz Yisrael today, that has dedicated themselves to find the Aseres HaShvatim, because they claim that they're Yidden. As you mentioned, Cheres and Nishvi, they're Gemara, but they claim that they're Yidden. And they want to bring them back into Eretz Yisrael. You have to also understand that there are many different tribes found throughout the world, especially in desolate places where there is no running water, or there are no Slurpees and things like that, that if you tell them that you have a free ticket to go to Israel, and when you get there, you can go touring, and you can have all kinds of good tzachin, right? And you can leave this desert or this mountainous area you're living in, and you need to do is you have to come from the Aseres HaShvatim. So they volunteer, maybe, they volunteer to become members of the Aseres HaShvatim. Seems to be a good way of getting around. So we have to be, you know, we have to be concerned about that also. Once again, not that it makes that much of a difference, but it could very well be that that has something to do with the different things that are going on. So we're just going to take off a little bit of time to discuss some of these people that may be more fascinating than others. First of all, there is a tribe of people that, if you look on the map, so again, we're talking about in Afghanistan, in the country Afghanistan and Pakistan. You see Afghanistan and Pakistan, they're right next to each other. Now, in Afghanistan and Pakistan, there is a tribe of people that are called the Pathans. The Pathans are made up of 15 million people. 15 million people is a whole lot more people than us. Okay? So that means that if they're Yidden, and if they're from Aseres HaShvatim, they're Yidden, so there's more of them than there is of us. And for all we know, they're looking for us, just like we're looking for them. But there again, 15 million of these Pathans. Now, these Pathans, they have very, very interesting customs. They themselves are Muslims, but Lamaisa, they have very interesting customs. What makes us first think that perhaps they are from the Aseres HaShvatim is because in the Sefer Divrei Hayomim, Perek Aleph, Posek Ches, and you have that, yeah? Perek Aleph Posek Ches, it says, you see in Posek Lamed Dalet, Uben Yoinason Meirav Boal Umeirav Baal Hoilet Es Micha Ubenei Micha Pisain, and the children of Micha were called Pisain, and this is all from the Mishpacha of Shaul HaMelech. You see in Posek Lamed Gimel, V'ner Hoilet Es Kish V'Kish Hoilet Es Shaul V'Shaul Hoilet Es Yoinason. So we have from Shaul, you go down to Yoinason, and Yoinason had a child who, Yoinason, Uben Yoinason Meriv Boal, and then Meriv Boal Hailed is Micha, Ubenei Micha Pisain. So these are now from the descendants of Shaul HaMelech. We have like five generations later, is somebody whose name is Pisain, which is similar to the Pathans. And the Pathans, Agav, claim that they come from Shaul HaMelech. There are people amongst the Pathans, and these people never learned Divrei Hayavim, for sure, and yet they claim that they come from Shaul HaMelech. And again, these people, yes. Yeah. Oh, so how do they come to the Aseres HaShvatim? That's what you're saying. Yeah, so it's interesting. They must have been found amongst Aseres HaShvatim. These people must have been then living amongst Aseres HaShvatim at the time when they went into Golos. Okay, it's a good Ha'orah. Your Ha'orah is very good. But That's the only way we could explain this. Now, they went to the, like I said, this is an organization that goes looking for these people, so they went to investigate these people, and they find, first of all, like this. They look different than everybody else. And I have a picture of what they look like. They look different. You see? This is what they look like. They have beards and payas. I saw pictures of them. You see them learning, you know, the children learning. By the way, they even chuckle when they learn. Very interesting. And also, they have a bris milah, and they have something which is similar to tzitzis. They don't eat the meat of a horse or of a gomel, right? They keep Shabbos. They don't keep it, not like the Muslims keep it, but they keep Shabbos. And on and on and on. Some of them bow down. They don't bow down to Mecca, but they bow down to Yerushalayim. They have a type of a Yibum. They keep Taras HaMishpacha. There's all kinds of stories about them that they also have Svarim, ancient Svarim that they have, whether it's in a Kameya or whether they have Svarim in houses, that these Svarim are written in Lashon Kodesh, and they look like Svarim, and they look like Sefer Torah, pieces of a Sefer Torah. In Kurtzin, there's something going on over there. They look different than all of the people around them. They don't look like the typical person that lives there. They look different than everybody else. Agav, these Pathans, we know them now a little bit because they're members of the Taliban, who have been causing a lot of trouble lately. And also it's the Pathans that waged war against the Russians. You know, there are two things that brought up down the downfall of Russia, you know, the Iron Curtain. One of them was the war in Afghanistan. Russia went into Afghanistan and was sure that they'll be able to wipe them out. Well, they met up a bunch against a tribe of people that were fierce warriors. These are the Pathans. And they waged war against Russia for 10 years, and the Russians weren't able to defeat them. And the mountain people face, and they went back into Russia. That was one of the things that brought down the downfall of Russia. So these people are fierce fighters. They're strong people. They're very fierce fighters. So it gets one to think, and they themselves have this claim that they come from Bnei Yisrael. They also have such a tradition amongst themselves that they come from Bnei Yisrael. They're Muslims. They converted. In other words, the Muslim religion started many years after the Churban of the Second Beis Hamikdash, right? And after, it's about 800 years after the Aseres Hashvatim left Eretz Yisrael, so they ultimately became Muslims. The question is, what were they before? There's no way to know. They don't know. There's no way to know. There are those who believe that the Japanese come from the Aseres Hashvatim. And I don't know if I ever told you the story, but there was a man, he was a donor to the yeshiva. He lived someplace in California, and actually he lived in Oakland, California. Very interesting man. And he was a donor to the yeshiva, and one day he calls me up. He has two students for the yeshiva. So I asked him, you know, where they went to yeshiva. He says, no, they didn't go to yeshiva. They attended a secular school. I said, where's the school? In Japan. So I told them, in Japan, you know, how are they going to come to yeshiva, you know? He says, what's the problem? So I said, well, are they Jewish? He says, of course they're Jewish. He says, everybody from Japan is Jewish. So of course they're Jewish. And I told him, I never heard such a thing. So he sent me a book. And in this book, the book is written in order to prove that the people from Japan are from the Aseres Hashvatim. I read through the book cover to cover, and by the time I finished, I was convinced that the people from Japan are not from the Aseres Hashvatim. It seems like you have to have a very vivid imagination in order to see that what he says is true. But again, there are people that believe that the Japanese come from the Aseres Hashvatim. There is something about the personality of the Japanese that's similar to the Eden, because they live on a little tiny island and they make a whole lot of noise. So this, I think, is one of the reasons why people are choshed, that the Japanese have shaykhs to Eden. What may be most interesting to us is the fact that there are people that believed that the American Indians come from the Aseret HaShvatim, and if not all of the American Indians, but some of the tribes of the American Indians come from the Aseret HaShvatim. You have to remember that we're talking about Indians that live in North America, Central America. A lot of these tribes are very, very sophisticated when they were discovered. And interesting enough, if you read about it, one of the reasons why this theory of the American Indians coming from the Aseret HaShvatim came about was because the Christians were all shook up when they found Indians living in America. Because, of course, they believe in the Bible, and everybody comes from other Mauritian and comes from Noach. So who are these people? Yeah, they come to a country. Who are these people? Now, their hanocha goes like this. They didn't get here by boat, because the boats that they have could only travel, whatever, 100 miles off the shore. Columbus said that he traveled so far, because nobody could travel that far with a boat. Everybody knows that. There is no land, there's no way by land that you can go from Asia to America. So, although if you look up on the map, you will see that the Bering Straits up by Alaska, so Alaska just about touches Russia, and in the middle of the winter, so they say that you can almost walk across from one place to the other, but they didn't know about this. Nobody ever went up there, right? Now we see it, but at that time they didn't know that there was such a thing, that there was a land route to be able to get from Asia to America. So, in other words, now we might say that the way they got there was they walked across Asia to the tip of Russia, they crossed over into Alaska, and then went down from Canada into North America, into Central America, into South America. Right? That's how they got across. But they didn't know about this. They didn't know about this. How'd they get there? So by boat, they didn't get there. And there's no place to go by land. So how did they get this? So they started amongst the Christians themselves developing all kinds of theories that maybe these people did not come from other Mauritian. They believe in the Old Testament, they have to come from other Mauritian. So maybe that was only the Old Testament means that the Europeans and the Asians came from other Mauritian, everybody else came someplace else. Maybe they were created later, maybe they were a different creation, maybe they're from a different world, the Christ went on and on and on. They were very nervous, these people, trying to explain, who are these people that are there? And by the way, then exploration started. So part of their problems became the Eskimos. It also went into the thing, we had the Eskimos get there. They started realizing that there's a big world out there. And they had to explain all the different things that are going on. So one of the explanations that they had about how the American Indians got there, which at one point was, even they pushed this explanation, was they came from the Aseret HaShvatim. How the Aseret HaShvatim get there? I guess they must have figured that the Aseret HaShvatim, maybe a cloud brought them there because there was a gzeira on them that they had to go into Golis. So they got there. But there was, again, such a theory that the Aseret HaShvatim, that the American Indians came from the Aseret HaShvatim. But the Mormons have a thing with the American Indians, with Aseret HaShvatim. And there were people that wrote books about this. And they proved it. They proved it that the American Indians came from the Aseret HaShvatim. Now, if you look at some of the proofs, a little bit ridiculous what these proofs are, but they had to prove it because, they were getting nervous, trying to figure out what they're doing there. What makes it interesting for us is that there was a Yid, his name was Menashe ben Yisrael, that maybe in the future, Mirtz Hashem, will study more about him. He lived in the time right after the expulsion of the Eden from Spain. He was a Rav that lived in Amsterdam. And he also held that there are tribes in America that come from the Aseret HaShvatim. And he went to Oliver Cromwell. And Oliver Cromwell then headed the English government. He went to Oliver Cromwell and tried to convince, and he convinced Oliver Cromwell that the American Indians were from the Aseret HaShvatim. And he had a whole cheshbon, because he wanted that the English should allow us back into England. The Yidden were driven out of England for 250 years. He wanted that they should let us back in, because he said that it's important that the Yidden live in all parts of the world. And when Oliver Cromwell said, well, we just discovered America, and they aren't there, so what am I going to accomplish by bringing them into England? Even if they're in England, it's not going to be in the whole world, because they're not in America. So he said, what do you mean they're not in America? The American Indians come from the Aseret HaShvatim. And he based this Menashe Ben Yisrael on the travels of a man who went to Central America and came back with a report that he found a tribe of people that that he heard them say Shema Yisrael. He heard them speak Lashon Kodesh. He heard them say Shema Yisrael. So this report was brought back to Menashe Ben Yisrael, so that got him started that the American Indians were from the Aseret HaShvatim. Now, what we have to understand is that the truth of the matter is that it wasn't true. This report that this man brought back, that they said Shema Yisrael, wasn't emes. Ultimately, I think he even admitted to it that it wasn't emes. The whole story wasn't emes. And that they come from the Aseret HaShvatim is highly not probable. We do have, though, there was once in either Times or Newsweek, one of these magazines, they found that there was a tribe that was found in Oklahoma someplace that has a very, very strange custom that around Sukkot time, around the same time like we have Sukkot, so they go into, it's Newsweek magazine. So there's a tribe living on a reservation in Oklahoma which has a holiday which is similar to Sukkot, where they eat and they sleep in a sukkah-like place for 8 days. And they write, it's an obligation to cover the sukkah with leaves and branches in order to instill the fear of heaven. And on this holiday, members of the tribe walk with thin branches which they wave in all directions. It's interesting, no? So what does this prove? It doesn't prove anything, but it's interesting. Yes? It's a very good question. You're asking a very good question. The Pella is that they knew to keep 8 days. I mean, what's Bechal, you know. It's a very good question. Anyway, he's asking a good question, because 8 days has to do with what happened in the time of the second base of Migdash, and they left in the first base of Migdash. So how did they get to 8 days? It should have been 7 days. Anyway, whatever. So, again, what does this prove to us? It doesn't prove to us anything. It's interesting. Maybe, like I mentioned, the missionaries are the ones who got to this tribe and taught them some of these things. Maybe yes, maybe no. Who knows? Maybe they are from the Aseret HaShvatim. Maybe they are people that wandered this far out. Again, the people living in Central America built up, you know, we know the Aztecs, you know, these people, they built up, they did a good job of developing a whole type of a civilization. Masha Enkein, in North America, it wasn't like that at all. They lived like highest, basically. So maybe some of them were. I think what's important for us to know is that Sanegeh, the whole discussion, so to say, besides the fact, that's very interesting, and it's fascinating if they do come from the Aseret HaShvatim, but it's not Negev. So that has to do, okay, so we could finish off that subject. This has to do, and again, there are svarim written on this, there are books written on this, because there is now an organization that works on this, and they have different countries and different places, different people, and there's a shita that it was the Aseret HaShvatim build the wall around China. There's such a mahalach, and there's all kinds of different theories of exactly what the Aseret HaShvatim accomplished since that time. I don't think we could prove anything, and I never saw anybody who was able to really prove anything about the whole subject. But whether we can prove it or can't prove it, I don't think the whole subject is really negay except for the human interest chelik of it. But now, to move on, we mentioned that there is, at the same time, there is another chelik. We mentioned that there is another chelik of Yidden that that went to the other side of the Sambatya. And it would seem, we assume bring rise, that the Eden that are living on the other side of the Sambatyan till today are still there. Now, first of all, I want you to look at the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. We have Kuf Yud Amid Beis. Right? The Mishnah says, Aseres Ashvatim Einam Asidim Lachzor. This is Rabbi Akiva Shita. Aseres Ashvatim Einam Asidim Lachzor. Shenemar Vayashlichem al Eretz Acheretz Kayim Hazer Ma Hayoim Hoylech Ve'enei Chayzer Afheim Hoylechem Ve'enam Chayzerim Divi Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara Dingzach, the Mishnah of Blazer, Dingzach of Blazer, Eimek, Eim Hazer, Ma Yoim, Maafilu, Meir, Afaseres, Ashvatim, Sheafelu Lehem, Kach Asida Lohoy Lehem. So it's machloik is Tanoim, if the Aseres Ashvatim are going to come back at all or not. If you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi brings down, so where I marked you off, the Rashi, Rashi says like this, Loi b'bneim u'bnei b'neim ka'amar. The Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, is not talking about their children or their grandchildren. Elo oisam shegolu atzman. Only those people themselves that went into golus, ein lahem chelik. Sherishram gemurim heim. Ava b'neim v'doris haboyim zoichin u'mezakin. So Rashi says clearly that even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that aseres ha'shvotim ein asidim la'achzor, this only refers to that first generation of Aseres Ashvatim, but their children and grandchildren, so they are not included in this statement of Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, it could very well be that that there are people from the Aseres Ashvatim that could be Chayzim. More than that, there is a tshuva from the Radvaz, and the Radvaz basically says that it's not mistaver at all to think that all of the people from the Aseres HaShvatim are not going to come back. Because it says that in the time, even in the time when the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golus, but it's very probable that there were people that from different Shvatim that were found in Yerushalayim at that time. And the Mela, that was when they brought the Karbonis, you had the Maimodos, people who came from different Shvatim that were there, Bishas, they brought the Karbonis. He says maybe those people were there and they saw how they brought the Karbonis. So to say that every single person from these Shvatim was found within their Shevet at that time, Bishas, they came and they drove them into Golus, so it's not Mistaver. Such a thing is not Mistaver. And the Mela, he says, Avada, the minion of Aseres HaShvatim, we talk about the count or the number of the Aseres of the Shvatim, so the number of the Aseres HaShvatim is 12. We know that there's 12 Shvatim, and that's Shleimus in Klal Yisrael, that you have to have 12 Shvatim. Yaakovinu gave a brochot to all of the Shvatim. We know that there has to be 12 Shvatim. So there always will be 12 Shvatim. And about that, Rabbi Akiva is maskim too also. This statement that Rabbi Akiva makes, that they're going to go into, that they'll never return. So, as you mentioned, either it's referring to, like Rashi says, referring to the first generation, not to the second generation, or else what we're saying now is, like the Radvaz is saying, the Radvaz says in the Tshuvas, so it's referring to those people that were found there at that time. But Avada, people that were found in different Shvatim, they have to be visiting relatives in different Shvatim, so Avada, they're going to come back. Okay, the Radvaz is in Archaim Chelech Ches, Simen Peihei. So, if we are going to discuss about people that are from the Aseres HaShvatim that are found in, that we're now going to explain are going to come back, so again, this is not a stira to Rabbi Akiva Shita that says that they're not going to come back. Okay, now, again, we found in the Yerushalmi, we have in the Medrashim, that the Aseres HaShvatim went to the other side of the Sambatyan. And this we all know, that this mimer, that why is this river called the Sambatyan, based on the Medrashim, it's called the Sambatyan because it's Noch on Shabbos. It's a whole week, the Sambatyan throws up stones in the air. It's a very strong river, but when it comes on Shabbos, so it stops. Hunoch b'Shabbos. There's an interesting medrash that says that how were these people from Naseres Ashvatim Zeicher to go to the other side of the Sambachen. So it says, the medrash brings down that when the Eden went in, when the people from Naseres Ashvatim went in, they were taken into Golis. So some of them were told that they should say Shira. They should say Shira. They didn't want to say Shira. They had such tsar, they didn't want to say Shira. So because of that, there was a tshuva gemura that they did. So they were taken to the other side of the Sambachan. They were taken to be there on the other side of the Sambachan. So, Rabbi Isai, what we're here to say is that these people from Aseres Ashvatim that were taken to the other side of the Sambachan, these people are tzaddikim gemurim, and they're here till today. Ad hayom, these people are on the other side of the Sambach. The question is, that's going, I'm sure, through everybody's mind, is that how could it be that there are people that are found someplace and we don't know where they are? We know everything, right? We, especially we educated ones, we know everything that's going on in every part of the world. How is it possible that there is a place in the world where there are people that are living, and there got to be a lot of them today, that there are people that are living and we don't know where they are? Right? We have now satellites that go up in the air and batons. So we're just going to end with this. If you take the last sheet of paper I gave you, this is the Netzach Yisrael. This is the Maral. Yeah, this is the Sefer from the Maral. The Maral, Perig Lamed Dalid, and you can go it over. You go it over by Arichas, that the Maral is Masber, that the fact, you see, if you say, the Maral says that it's that the Aseres Ashvatim are someplace very far off on the other side of the Sambachan. And then he says, "V'yesh mei adam oim shechach mei umayis heim shekosu mokim and mokim b'chol yishev aretz." He says there are those who say that the Chachamim know where everything is. "V'ein oid shum mokim shlei nirsham b'svarim v'akol noydelam." There's no place in the world that we don't know about. Everything is clear. And the Ein Mokum Sheyadua Yud Shvatim, we don't know any place where the Aseres Ashvatim are found. So how could it be? So the Maral explains, the Ein Raya Mishum Bishvil Dovazeh, and he says the whole thing is to air such a kasha is ridiculous. And the reason for this is because the Golus of Aseres Ashvatim was a Gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Ayashlichem Le'eretz Acheretz Kayoim Hazer, and he says the gzeira that came from the Ribbono Shel Olam was Shlayu Neidim V'lo Yischabru B'Yachad Ad Eis Ketz V'lo Kaido. Reading from the top line, he says the gzeira was that they have to be separated from the rest of Klal Yisrael. V'lo Yischabru B'Yachad Ad Eis Ketz V'lo Kaido. So he says, "Lekach k'meisha gozar harpirud v'hapizur al Yisrael b'chol kitzvei oretz." Just like it was nigzar on the Bnei Yehuda that we leave Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be spread throughout the world. Kach gozar ha'hevdul v'aprisha elu me'elu. In the same way, there's a gzeira that we are going to be separated from that Aseres Ashvatim. So the fact that we can't find our Aseres Ashvatim is because that was the gzeira from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we're not going to find them and that we can't find them. So it doesn't pay to look for them. And it doesn't pay to look for them because the Maral tells us there's a gzeira, we're not going to find them. What we need to know is that they're there and we don't see them because obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam is hiding them someplace. And they're going to come in the time before Mashiach comes. So we'll stop over here, and the next time we're going to talk about a time in our history where the Chachamim held it was before the coming of Mashiach, and they went, and they therefore held, and we'll show you the riots why they held that way, that now is the time for these people to appear, and they went looking for them, and how they almost found them. So, have a good day.